How everyone doing tonight?
Great.
My name is Alejandro Luna. It's a pleasure for me to be up here tonight. The last time I was up here probably was like 9 months ago, maybe, with Jose. It's a little different this time because I'm free. I'm not on house arrest no more. I just served 9 years.
Share that hope.
Yeah, definitely. I just served 9 years in the federal penitentiary. I got indicted in 2011 with my brothers. I gave my life to the Lord in 2013, been walking with him ever since. I'm a known gang member. I'm from Fort Wayne. AMG is still for a Mexican American gangster. I'm known around here for the things that I used to do. So with me coming home this time, people expected something different. But it's amazing how God works and how he can turn your heart. At first, I thought it'd be hard for me to come back and live humbly and not allow my pride to take over. But God did something to me during that time of incarceration. He gave me a sense of peace. He gave me something so much more valuable than anything. And why I'm bringing this up, because during this time of the holidays, we start looking at all these materialistic things. Like, I want this, and start looking at other people's success, so-called success, because they have this materialistic stuff. But the true success for me comes from within, that peace, that joy, that happiness, something money can never buy. Before, I used to have all these things, money, cars, women, houses, jewelry, everything. I felt that I had everything, but I never had peace. I never had myself. I was really fake to myself, but real to everybody else. So when people see me, they admire me. But in all actuality, they wasn't admiring me. They was just there for what I can give them. So a lot of times God has shown me during my time of incarceration that they ain't loyal. Street is not loyal. They're going to be there for the time when you can put something in their hands, but when you truly need them, they're not there. So it's real rare to find good people. And once I learned to get around brothers in Christ, I start seeing the realness of it, because we become transparent, open, and vulnerable. That's one of the key things. As we come here tonight, before I came, I was praying. I asked the Lord, Lord, what you want me to say? What you want me to do? Lord, what is it? And I was getting nervous myself. But God said, hey, them are your brothers and sisters. You ain't got to try to be no better or anything. So what I did, I said, Jose called me and said, hey, you got something in mind? I said, no, but God does.
That's right.
He will. So what I'm talking about today is just being vulnerable and open at the same time and being real to yourself. Because a lot of times we don't deal with a lot of things because we fear people going to judge us and say this or say that about us. But in all actuality, they dealing with things they self and don't want to open up. So as long as you don't open up with the things that you're dealing with, it's going to be there tomorrow. It's going to be there the next day. The only way it's going to go and go away is by dealing with it. I used to weigh 325 pounds. I was heavy. And I stayed in that same insecurity and doubt for years because I wouldn't make the decision to change my eating habit. But once I made a decision to change my eating habit, a lot of other things changed too. My self-esteem, a lot of things start changing about myself. So today, in Christ Jesus, I am free.
Amen.
He has given me the hope. He has given me the peace and the joy. And during this time of the year, you know, we can all be down on ourselves because maybe we can't provide like we used to. You know, me, honestly, I'm 38 years old. I came back home with nothing. I had an opportunity to go stay with my brother. And God told me, no, you need to go stay with your mother. She sacrificed for you. She took three of your kids in. You going to go on some pride and go sit over here with at your brother's house when your mom did this for you? No, you need to go home with her. But pridefully, I ain't want to go back home to mom's. I was like, man, hold on, I'm 38. I'm going back home to my mom's house. I ain't like it. But I learned something because she taught me unconditional love during the midst of that time. And God told me, no, go back home to your mom's. And I was there, but I didn't feel comfortable, honestly. Until I spoke to one of the sisters, I told her, I said, man, I'm back at mom's. I'm starting back over. And she said, I'd give anything to be there. I said, what? She said, I lost my mother. And once she hit that, the whole perspective changed. And I think that's an important thing, what I'm talking about, is because people, places, and things can make a difference in your decisions and your choices. When you put yourself around people that's like-minded, that has that hope, that has that faith, they'll teach you and talk to you, and God will use them to help you in your decision making and change that perspective. You know, a lot of times we see ourselves a certain type of way. And we're going to stay in that same type of way until we open up and speak on it. It's a lot of things we all dealing with, but a lot of us ain't going to be vulnerable and be open and talk about it either, though. We're going to act like we got it all together. That's a fake Christian to me. Just like when my man's in my soul drugs and in the gang where you got your hat kicked this way, then you see this person, you put it straight. Bro, you fake. You know what I mean? We can't go in church and sit there and act like we fake. Oh, we got it all together. No, we don't. That's why we're here. We don't have it all together. That's why we pray at night, asking God to guide us and lead us and teach us, because we need help. That's why he says, do not lean upon our own understanding, but go to him, ask him, lead, teach, guide us. So with us being here today, we here because we need help. And during this time, it's hard, man. I don't know how y'all feel, but I know my kids start, dad, this. Oh, no, that ain't what Christmas about. You know, Christmas isn't about all the gifts and this, that, and everything else. It's more to it. You know, it's about the love of Christ. It's a way that we can demonstrate of who Christ is. So I tell them all the time. I tell my kid, your dad's here now. I was gone all that time, but I'm here now. So we're going to have peace. We're going to have joy. Get to all that. No, bring all that down. It's cool to have it. It's okay to have nice things. But don't value yourself for them. Because like I always tell people all the time when I talk to my man, hey, listen, if money brings you joy, I could put some money in your hand. You're going to be happy. And I snatch it right back. Now I'm controlling your emotions. Don't let nobody play with you. And then a lot of times we on these Facebook, we on this Instagram, we comparing ourselves. Look at her. Look at him. Look how he built this, that, and everything else. Now we no longer content with who we are. Now we start going in other areas. Now we trying to be somebody else. Paul talks about running your own race. Stay in your own lane. Do your own thing. That's why I used to tell people in the street, oh, no, that's your lane. This is my lane over here, bro. Let me run this one. You do you. Okay, same thing in my walk. Hey, you may see me a certain type of way. People see me all the time. I wear my hat still, my baseball cap. I still wear it. Oh, man, look at how you dress. What I'm supposed to wear a suit and tie? That make me real? That make me a real Christian because I put on a suit and tie? No, that don't make it real. It's inside your principles, your character. That's what counts. What are you based on? Where's your foundation at? You know, those things. That's what makes you within yourself, you know. So, you know, God is good, and he's given me the opportunity over this last year to be able to go out and witness and talk to others, you know what I mean, just share some things that I've been through, you know, during my incarceration, when I first went to prison. You know, I went to prison and when I was 27 years old, and, you know, I was still doing the things that I was doing inside the county jail, selling tobacco, still hustling, you know, just trying to get by. You don't have a mindset in right away. You know, you go in there, you take that same mindset in from the street, you take it in there, you just try to find another way to do something. Have other people admire you because you run in the store, running poker, and you got these little bags of commissary underneath your bed. They looking at you, oh, you doing big thing. Bro, that's $13, man. You know what I'm saying? But they swear you doing big things. They're like, okay. You know, but God was showing me something. Like, man, you doing all this for what? For people to think that you got it all together? And really you inside you hurting. I said, yeah, he's talking to me. So in 2013, I got transferred. I went to MCC Chicago. A lot of people know it, Chicago. They call it the motherland for the gangs, you know. So I walk in there. I mean, it's the motherland. I'm Latin folks. I walk in there. As soon as I walk in there, there go the Latin folks. Hey, what's up? I'm like, what's up? You know, he said, hey, what color are you? I said, I'm Mexican. He said, can I talk to you? I said, let me finish talking to the counselor. So I go in there, go talk to the counselor. Counselor does this thing. We, you know, we writing, got to sign off because you just get in there, got to do all that stuff. So when I come back out, he walks up to me. He said, do you bang? I'm from Fort Wayne. We don't bang. Yeah, I'm involved in a gang, but we don't bang. For me, I never stood on the corner with a rag and do this, that, and everything else. I don't bang, but I'm affiliated. So I said, no. He walked off. I went my way. I was at my bunk, sitting down, I'm reading. A few days later, he walked by me. He said, I know you're affiliated with something, and kept moving. Now he said, I'm affiliated. He used the right word this time. So I said, okay. I got up. He was coming back. So I stood up. I said, hey, what did you say? He said, I said you're affiliated with something. I said, yeah, I'm a Latin folk from Fort Wayne. I said, but I'm no longer on that time. He said, why you didn't say that from the beginning? Really, to be honest, I ain't had the courage. I ain't want to face it at that time. And I was like, well, you know, you didn't say it. So there I go again, making an excuse. Instead of being real. Oh, man, you ain't say it like that. You said this, that, and everything else. He said, oh, okay. So now I know it's going to be some trouble. Anybody been locked up? And Mexicans is hard on you when you're in prison. They one of the hardest ones on you. Either you're going to run with them, you ain't going to run with them, you're going to get off the dorm, you're going to get off the block. Your own people be tight sometimes. So I knew what was coming. I said, yeah, you could check my phone book. Because he said, well, you say some things that a snitch would say. I said, man, you can check my phone book. You can do whatever you want. Call. And he said, okay. He walked away. Long story short, a few days later, I go up to the basketball court. I happened to sit down. There was another Spanish guy up there. That's why you got to watch so-called Christians or fakes or whatnot. Because he was one of the ones that was running the whole dorm. But he is so-called a Christian. So when he sat down next to me, he's trying to pass me some books based on God. But he's over here running this and doing this, that, and everything else. So the guy tell me when I get back to the dorm, hey, you know who that you just sat next to? I remember his name, Emmanuel. And I said, nah. He said, well, he's the one ahead of this dorm. I said, okay. He said, well, he want to know what you're going to do. Now it's starting to get serious. I know what time it is. He said, so what you going to do? I couldn't answer it at that time. I kind of was stuttering in my body. I don't know. Long story short, I ain't want no problems. So I said, man, I don't know. He said, I'll be back. He walked off. I'm praying. I'm asking God, God, be with me, be with me. That's in the spirit. But in the flesh, I already knew I was going to sit with him and chill. I ain't want no problems. That's the only way I can avoid the situation. So he came back down, hit my bunk. I said, oh, yeah. He said, man, let me talk to you. I said, all right. So we go up. So I start following him to his room. When I start going to his room, I'm asking God, be with me, Lord. But me in the flesh already made a commitment. Said, I'm just going to sit with him because I don't want no problems. I'm only going to be here for a short time. I can fake it a little bit more. I got up there and I sat down on his bunk. And he said, hey, what you going to do? Words came out of my mouth, surprising. I said, in the Bible, it says you can't serve two masters. Eventually, you're going to go against one. He said, you know what you're saying? I said, yeah. And he looked at me, and this is how I know God was powerful. And ever since then, I stood on this in every prison I went to. He looked at me and said, I tried to be a Muslim, and I couldn't. Right there showed me the strength of the God I serve. Because now this man started witnessing to me of how he fell short. And I said, huh? Because I was surprised. And he said, I understand what you're saying. He said, more power to you. While you here, you ain't got to worry about nobody messing with you or doing anything. You good. So people that know about prison, if you don't run with your gang, they get you off that dorm. Somehow, some way, you getting off that dorm if you ain't going to check yourself in. I wasn't going to check myself in. So I was willing to take that whooping to get me out the dorm. But anyways, I stood on that because God showed me at the beginning in 2013 how powerful he was. So I knew the God that I served. So I went to a medium security. I went to a low security. I ended up going to a camp. But every time I walked in there with that confidence of the God that I serve and was able to stand tall and say, I'm not on that time. This type of time I'm on. When I got free and I came back home, I still know the God I serve. And I'm still here today saying, hey, listen, I'm no longer on that time. This is the time that I'm on. You know, that's who the God I serve. So a lot of times we got to dig deep and see some of the things that God has shown us and take hold of it. David had to encourage himself in the Bible sometime. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're going to have to encourage ourselves. During this time right now, we got to encourage ourselves. God's been providing. And I can say that honestly because everybody's still here. You're still alive. You still got hope. You still got a chance. So whatever struggles, whatever doubts, whatever fears you've been going through, he's giving you confidence and the strength to go through it. But you just haven't fully committed and completed that process of healing in the midst of that. So it's some things that we're going through right now that we can dig deep and ask Jesus, set us free. Because he said the truth will set us free. And that's who we serve. We serve a God that would have set us free. So I would have had insecurities. I had doubts. I had fears. But with his strength, I have overcome many of them. Am I still here struggling in a certain area? Yes. And I am submitting to him. And each time that I fail, I surrender and say, Lord, help me. Give me the strength to overcome it. But it all does, we have to face them. You know, it's some things that we have to face every day. You know, like I said, I ain't know what I was going to speak on. I said, I'm going to let God guide this. You know what I mean? And I know all, you know, nobody knows me in here. You know what I mean? But at the same time, though, we all here for a reason. We all here for the same thing. We want that peace. We want that joy that comes from only Him that we serve. And a lot of times, sometimes we may not know Him like that. Sometimes we may not see Him for that. We may be seeking Him for the wrong reasons. Lord, provide this, provide that. Give me this, give me that. Lord, I just need You. Or honestly, sometimes when you're in prison and you're in jail, you just playing. Because I don't want to be over here. I want to go over here with the Christians. I just want to go here. I'm going to go sit at this table, eat with them. I'm going to go over here just to get by in the midst of the time because I'm hurting. So guess what? I'm going to go to God. But is your heart fully surrendered to God? Have you built that relationship with God? That's how you're going to get closer to Him. It's not about playing. It ain't about just coming and saying, well, God's going to do this. God's going to do that for Him. If you don't know Him and you don't know His word when you get in a situation, how you going to respond? Because you can't respond to His word if you ain't in His word. You're going to respond in the flesh, in your old ways. So when trouble or anything comes, like right now during this time of Christmas, oh, I can't provide this. What are we going to do? Well, I'm going to go pick up a pack. I'm going to give me some money because I got to provide for my kids. Or are you going to take the word and say, hey, well, Jesus is a provider. I can trust Him. I can believe in Him. Because the devil going to speak things to us. And if we don't know how to respond, guess what? He's going to get the best of us. Same thing. So it's important for us to get into that word, know that word, learn God, trust God, build a relationship with Him. You know, and being, for me, one of the main things that I always like to talk about is just being open and honest and transparent about whatever's going on in your life. It could be with me, him, but most importantly with God, because you can trust Him with anything. He's not going to tell nobody nothing. Let it out. Don't hold it in. There's certain things that we're going through today and we can make a difference, but it all starts with ourselves. It all starts with ourselves by facing and saying, hey, listen, I need help in this area. I need to move forward from this. How do I do it? By trusting the process of God. You know, so, you know, I'm not very long-winded. I just want to share some of my testimony and just talk about some of the things I've been through. You know, if anybody got any questions for me of, you know, situations, like I said, I've been incarcerated back home with my parents. I got 5 children. I wasn't used to working. I came home. I sold drugs my whole life. So when I came back home, I wasn't used to working. Man, I got videos on my, I'm cutting grass. I'm like, seriously, $10 I'm cutting grass. Lord, You brought me for this? The Lord? You know, I was like, come on now. You know what I mean? This ain't even my style. You know what I mean? But I looked at it and I said, God, every day, I said, You still building. You still shaping the mold of me. You still shaping the mold of me. So today I do cable. I install cable. So I'm a cable technician. I got to put a ladder up there. I'm on top of the ladder like, God, this is my calling. Who going to hear me up here? You know what I'm saying? Like, this my calling. I ask God all the time. This where I'm supposed to be. But He told me something in the midst of it. He said, no, I'm still working on you. Amen. You know what I mean? So I'm learning patience still. I'm still learning things, and I'm accepting those things each day. Because every day when I wake up in the morning, I don't like work. So I'm like, dang, I got to go to work again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, again, this is what I'm going to do every day, you know? But what I'm getting to is, like, whatever we're going through at this time, you know what I mean? God is building us. He's shaping and He's molding us. You know, it's good for us to accept it. Don't fight it. Accept it. It'll make the process a lot easier of what we can go through.
Well, I was just going to say, would you explain in detail what really caused you to accept Christ?
In 2013, I was, like, really, to be honest, so I grew up in the streets. My brothers are older than me. I got 2 older brothers. Lyle knows who they are. I got 2 older brothers. So they already kind of paved the pavement for me. So when I came off, the respect and everything was already there. It's nothing I ever really wanted. It's already like I was faking. So I just jumped off. So in 2013, when I was incarcerated, I just knew it was time for a change. And Jose, you guys know Jose. So Jose's always been a best friend. Always me and him sold drugs together. We ran the streets together. And in 2008, he got indicted before me. He used to call my phone, and he used to always talk about God, just talk about how he felt. And he used to just share. Never asked me to give my life to the Lord. Never asked me any of that, but just shared how the peace and joy that he had. And during that time when I was incarcerated, I could only hear Jose's voice about that peace and joy. And it was a Bible, and I picked it up. And I started making a change and started making a difference while I was incarcerated. So I got to a point when I was there And I asked people, I said, listen, don't respect me for who I was. Get to know me for who I am today. Mm. You know, and still to this day, when I come home, if I went out, we went somewhere, people see me, they're still going to embrace me as who I was then, because that's what they see, until I get to a point and say, I'm no longer like that. I'm no longer on that time. Oh, you ain't. But then one thing I have learned too, man, respect man if you're honest. Because at the same time, them same people that kind of shunned me away at first, they hit in my message asking me, hey, pray for me. It's getting hard out here, bro. And we see that light. Hey, man, how do we get there? What do we need? So, you know, sometimes you might see somebody look at you and shun you at first, but in all actuality, they want different too. They want change. I got a guy that just hit me on Facebook, not to put his business out there, but he's still in the streets. But he called me and said, hey, man, I see you going this route, bro. How do I go that route? Can we sit down and talk? I need to get away. I need to get away from here. But what I do, I don't place myself in their area. I tell them, look, I work out at the gym. I'm at the YMCA all the time. I take them out their environment, tell them to come over here so they can see and be vulnerable and be open. Because a lot of us know when we get around certain people, we're not going to let them see all that weakness. If I go sit in your spot, you're not going to show no weakness. You're going to try to be tough. It's like, oh, man, I don't need that. I don't need no Jesus in my life, man. I got this money. This money doing this, that, and that, there. Okay. You got my number, bro. Get with me. And they reach out. They say, Lalo. That's what they call me. They call me Lalo. Lalo, man, what is it? We see some light. What is it? How do you got that peace? And I say, because I don't allow my situation to control me or my emotions. Because I know the God that I serve. I'm not going to be in the same situation forever. Next year, I'm not going to be at my mother's house. My mother going to be at my house. You know what I mean? I'm not leaving her. She sacrificed for me. She going with me. She going to share in the blessings of the Lord. You know what I mean? So I see things differently. Some people don't. They only see today. They don't see what tomorrow can hold or what it can bring. And they stay content and lost in today. So, you know, back then in 2013, when I was lost and confused, and when it was time for me to surrender, it was really an easy process because I never wanted it anyways.
So, just observing you and hearing you talk, there's obviously you've surrendered your life, you made a commitment, but I see things in your life that you've kind of alluded to, but I want you to expand on it because it seems important and I'd like to get your impression. One, working out, mm-hmm. But it's not just working out, it's who you work out with and that gang that you hang with, mm-hmm. Going to church on Sunday, mm-hmm. Taking care of your kids, mm-hmm. with that being a priority. Then also, you talk about the Word, and I'd like to hear you say a little bit more as far as what practically that looks like in your life. When do you read the Bible regularly? What and when and how? And
a lot.
What are the other things in your life
that structure
keep you on track? And that.
So I do so I'm with Joselito. We got a Blue Lines Athletic. So we do is God and fitness. So we got a lot of guys that we work out from the neighborhood. Some guys that I've ran with. So the guy that I work for the cable company, his name is Gino Quiones. He's a known gang member. He ran with me back in the day as well. He was underneath. I was a higher position, but he was underneath me. And he ended up starting a company and getting a company called Insight. And with that Insight, he allowed us on his shirt to put the Blue Lions Athletic. So if you see me, I wear a black sweater with the Blue Lions logo. And he gave me the opportunity to put that on there to be able to witness while I'm out on the field to give praise and honor to God for what he has done. He's, you know, so the guy, and then I run with another guy named Clyde Thatcher. He owns Grade A Tattoos. He's also, you know, walking his walk, turning his life over and surrendering to God. So it's a group of guys. If you go down to the YMCA at 6:30 this time each day, we're down there working out with different guys from the neighborhood. It's you just come as you are. You don't have to be, your life doesn't have to look the perfect picture or whatnot and say, I surrender to God already. No, just come and place yourself around and let's see how God works on you. So we invite everybody's welcome to come. So a lot of times, with that being said, we have a group chat with the Blue Lions Athletic. So us as brothers, we hold each other accountable. So every morning we might send scriptures, or somebody might wake up and send a motivational for to start our day off. We give praise and thanks to God for what he's doing. Because a lot of us from the neighborhood, we didn't think we was going to see today. We didn't think that we was going to be blessed as we are today. You know what I mean? So a lot of things like that. So we're always encouraging one another, uplifting one another. And, you know, so that's kind of like the structure of every day with us as a brothers. We all come from the same neighborhood, you know, ran with the same gang and stuff along that nature back then. But a lot of people are making different changes in their life, and we holding each other accountable, moving each other forward. I do go to church on Sundays. I go to the city church on Rudisill. I like it because it's a practical church. You know, you just come in and they're all warm. It's a very opening. Very respectful, nobody's judging nobody or anything along that nature. So I do that on Sundays. Just stay in the scripture. Like today, I just read a little bit today. I didn't know where I was going to come from. I just kind of bounced around, so I didn't have no structure setting for today's reading, you know. But just that's pretty much like what I do every day. Like I said, I work today. I haven't been here in a while because on Mondays I've been working doing the cable install, but I end up going, it's slowing down during this time of the year. So I end up just going for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So it's dropped down to a 4-day week. So it gives me the opportunity to come here. So, you know, God is good. So I can't complain about anything. Yeah.
I would like to comment on two things that you said. One, about living with your mom, because mm-hmm. when I got out of prison the last time, and I was supposed to go live with my parents and my daughter, and because my dad had offended me while I was in prison, I would not go there. And so I ended up, I didn't go there, and I spent 10 more years as an addict because of my pride. Mm-hmm. And I just went straight downhill. So I really love that you said that, about just that decision, about putting your pride aside and going back to your mom's.
And it made a big difference, to be honest, is because I got three little girls. So I wanted to demonstrate who God is. So I'm home every night at a certain time, laying in my bed. I'm already there. I tell my daughter my door's always open. And they see that every day. Dad, it's 10:05. Ain't you supposed to be in bed? You know, they already know what time I lay down. They already know my timing. If I'm not, you know, not there at a certain time, Dad, what are you doing? They text, you know what I mean? But what I get to is that my kids, I was absent from my kids' life for 9 years. So I had to come home and I had to hear some things that I didn't want to hear at first. But being there, staying, loving them, they start, Dad, we love you, we miss you. Sometimes what I'm getting to is with Jesus. He's always there. He's not going to turn from you. He's not going to run from you. We turn from him. We run from him. We cuss him out. Why you if you God, you why you ain't did this? We ain't did that question. I heard all that from my kids at the beginning. Oh, you all of a sudden you coming home now, you want to tell us to do this, you want to do that. I love you, baby. I love you. As I tell my kids, I love you. You say all you want. It did hurt sometimes because some of it was truthful. You've been gone 9 years. Who you think you are? You ain't raised. It's truth to that. It's some stings. But like I tell them, I'm your father. You're going to respect me, though. You got truth. Let it all out. Get it all out. Because I don't want you to walk around this house in bitterness. Let it all out. If it hurts, let it out. Let's talk about it. If it's going to hurt me, it's okay. Let's talk about it. I'd rather deal with it instead of us pushing it to the side and just exploding at one time. So, you know, it actually helped not only myself, but it also helped my kids by making that decision. And that decision came from another sister when I was locked up. I texted her. She said, you know what, Lalo? Your kids, if you move to your brother's house, you know what they're going to say? I said, what is that? She said, they're going to question why my dad didn't want to come home to me. That was another sister that gave me that. So being around wise counsel and sharing what you're really thinking and what you're really going to do can help. You know, so that's what has helped me. So.
Well, and then when you said about mowing lawns, there's a man in Indianapolis. He got out of prison either 4 or 5 years ago and started mowing lawns. And with the money he made from mowing lawns, he bought one vending machine. And now he's been out of prison either 4 or 5 years. And he always is posting, like, now he has a vending machine empire. He literally has more than 40 vending machines.
Amen.
And he's only been out of prison like 4 or 5 years. And he started out just pushing a lawnmower so he had enough money to buy one vending machine, made enough money off of that machine to buy another one.
Yep.
And now he's got an empire.
Yep.
From just mowing lawns.
Yep.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any comments about what was said?